Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
There we go. Hey, church family, good to be with you. I don't know if that's the right terminology for online stuff like this. I like it better over here. I'm still getting used to preaching or being up here on the stage, but church family, we're glad you're with us. Thank you to our worship team who, like Pastor Susan said, yeah, we got some whistles and claps. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate that. They did a great job for receiving some very last-minute changes. I think Carter called me at 9 p.m. last night, and I didn't even get the call then. So, worship team, thank you. Thank you very much. I'd say thank you to Brian, but he's out braving the blizzard and heading back to his family, quarter mile away and all that. But anyways, I'm just going to invite us to pray. It's never a bad idea, and so let's pray real quick. God Almighty, thank you. Thank you for the snow. Sometimes snow is wonderful and beautiful, and we enjoy it, and other days it's that sloshy stuff that gets mixed in with dirt and makes life difficult, and we're kind of grumbling about it. But God, we thank you. We thank you for the snow, for our lives, for us being able to move forward, to connect with each other, to connect with you, Lord. We're grateful. God, we pray for the McClendon family as they are navigating a potential exposure. They're not 100% sure right yet, but as they're navigating that, God, we pray that you would be with them, be with Carter. We pray against COVID that he would not be sick, not only him, but his family, our world. God, we are tired, but we are committed to following you. Be with us and help us engage with each other, engage with you, and follow after you well. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, we are in our second week of our Blessed series, where we have been talking about the Beatitudes. Who is blessed? Did I say this is our second week? This is our second to last week. So we've got this, and then we've got, I think, one more Beatitude for next week. I realized this morning. Pastor Susan helped me clue this together. It is Valentine's Day, and the Beatitude is, blessed are those who are persecuted. So I don't know if the good Lord is trying to say something to any of us, or I don't know. John's smiling. We'll see. But we'll see how God helps us navigate that. We've got one more week of the Beatitudes, and then we will be into the season of Lent, which I'm excited for. It's always, I don't know if you can call Lent a good time. I don't know if it's enjoyable. It is good. But we're just going to get straight to the scripture and see what the Beatitudes for today have for us. So let's take a look at the first one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's for those of you in here, Matthew 5:8, for those of us following along. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When I read this because I read pretty intensely what we're going to talk about on Sunday at the beginning of the week. I kind of felt this is a little weird. So pure in heart. I don't know about you, but that's not me. I don't know that many of us would claim to be pure in heart, like perfect, pure in heart. Well, thanks for setting us up for impossible standards, Jesus. Away we go. Let's move on to the next one and see what that has. Maybe that one will have some hope for us, right? It's funny. I was not intending to talk about this for very long. And that's happened time after time in this series, that the beatitude that I've thought, yes, this is where I want to focus, this is where I want to go, usually is not the one the good Lord seems to reveal the most about. If you feel like this is an impossible standard, if you feel like how can we be pure in heart, I mean, that's such a hard thing to think about. Like, how can you be perfectly pure in heart? If you see something in Scripture that God is asking of us as Christ followers that seems impossible, chances are maybe it is. Maybe it is impossible for us. But it's not impossible for God through us. Because making impossible demands of his followers is not what Jesus did. That's what the Pharisees did. That's what they were famous for. They made impossible demands of their followers, not Jesus. And the Pharisees had all kinds of rules and laws in first century Jewish culture. And they had laws about how you could wear your beard. I don't know if I am in compliance. I have trimmed the sides of my beard within the last month. I'm pretty sure I'm out of compliance there. They had rules for how you washed your hands and had to do it a certain particular way with certain things. You had to avoid all unclean people, you know, stay back from people that were considered to be all unclean. There were so many different rules and procedures and things you had to do in order for you to be pure. And I got to the point pretty quickly where there were so many rules and regulations for you to be pure that the Pharisees were the only ones who actually had time in their day to do it. Because you could spend all day long following the Pharisees' rules, and that's what you had to do. You had to spend your entire day doing it. And if you spent your entire day following the Pharisees' rules, chances are you were a Pharisee because no one else had the time to. The Pharisees set people up for an impossible standard. Standards only they could meet. Jesus isn't like that. So when we encounter this scripture and we see that there's something that seems impossible, we need to take another, a deeper look. Because that's not who Jesus is. Jesus doesn't tell us to do what is impossible. Jesus invites us to do what we think is impossible, but God works in and through us. So this is not some impossible demand. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to actually have us listen to a passage of Scripture I think is pretty related to this. It's in Psalm 24. So if you got a chance to really quickly flip there in your Bibles, I'm going to play a video that of Kayla Shutter reading it for us. So Kayla, I'm going to let you take it away.
Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, do not worship idols, and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have the right relationship with God their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship your presence, O God of Jacob.
Let me just go and I'll put it up on the screen. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Those whose hearts and hands are pure. Psalm 24, 3 through 6. I think what this really helps us with is it defines purity. It helps us understand, because the idea of this psalm is for those that are trying to worship God, for those of us that are trying to connect, get closer to God, who can worship on God's holy hill, who can worship in the temple, appropriately worship God? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. I really like this psalm because, for one thing, it links our hands and our hearts, what we do, our actions, and our hearts, our emotions, our thought life. Because what we do with our actions is equally important to our hearts and, quite frankly, to how we're acting. I mean, you wouldn't say, "Oh, such Philip is such a sweet child," as he runs around and he puts his uncle's head in a barbecue. Like, you wouldn't say he's such a sweet child. That's crazy. That is not him living sweetness out with his actions. What we do, how we act, it affects our hearts. Second thing for us, we get told what purity is about. I'll just read it here. 24. Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. Another translation says, in whom is found no deceit. No deceit, no lies, who do not worship idols. Not telling lies, that's one I can understand, but we've talked about this before. Worshipping idols is harder and it is trickier in our context now. Because what worshiping idols is about is your attention. Is your attention on God or is your attention on something else? Are you focused on something else? And if you are focused on something else, like many of us, we have various parts of our life. You've got work, family, friends, hobbies, you name it. But sometimes there gets to be something so big in your life that it draws focus from other areas and it can draw our focus from God. For some of us, we've been very focused on things this year. It has felt like years. But we've been focused on things this year. Politics. Politics has taken a lot of our energy, it has felt like this year. For some of us, the Democratic Party may be an idol. For some of us, the Republican Party may be an idol. Keeping up with the latest news and making sure we are finding what is the last thing to happen, that may be an idol. That may be taking attention that we should be giving to God. Another one. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. My team is in the Super Bowl. And for those of you who are unaware, I'm sorry, all you local Chiefs fans, I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. Lauren is given the down thumbs. This was destined to happen. That's why I warned you about it when I candidated at this church. It was only a matter of time before the Bucks made the Super Bowl. That was not something I necessarily foresaw 4 years ago. But anyways, but this, I call them my team, like I have some sort of ownership. But if I spend all my time, if my life is greatly impacted positively if they win, or if I just am wallowing in pity tomorrow on Monday if they lose, I have to wonder if I've made them into an idol. That could be me worshiping them. The goal of Psalm 24, what Psalm 24 was talking about, and even the goal of our beatitude, is seeing God, being with God, worshiping God. That is the goal of being pure. Beware of things that distract you from that purpose. If you find yourself doing something else and it's calling to you, even though you know you should be spending some time with God, but this is calling you more, whatever this is, be aware. Consider whether or not it is an idol in your life and whether you should be challenged to come back to turn away and to turn more towards God, to see what God is doing instead. And that can be us, no matter if it is politics, if it is sports, if you collect Dilbert comic books. I have 22, by the way, I counted. But whatever it is, whatever your thing, sometimes it may be an obsession, is, consider whether it's drawing your attention away from God. Because for those who are pure in heart, for those who give their attention to God, what our Beatitude says is they will see God. And that is beautiful, because God isn't hidden. We are just often distracted. Before we move on to the next Beatitude, I just want to say, noticed a pattern this week, and you may have noticed it too, that in many of these Beatitudes, they consistently, very often, talk about the reward, blessed is this person, for they will, that reward is often time with God, seeing God, being connected with God in some new way. And I just want to acknowledge, for some of us, that might not feel as much like a reward. I mean, the reward for praying is I have to pray more, or I'm praying more. I don't. Come on, Pastor Ben. That's not what most of us want. We want our lives to be easier. We want our lives to be blessed and easier. I don't know that I want to connect more with God as my reward for connecting with God. But Jesus doesn't promise us. He doesn't promise us that our lives will be easier. In fact, several times through Scripture, Jesus promises us the opposite. He said, yeah, sometimes life is going to be really hard because you follow me. We'll talk about that next week. Jesus doesn't promise us that our life is going to be easier the closer we connect with him, the more we connect with him. But our lives are better. I think your life will be more full of peace, even if the storm around you is raging and things seem out of control. If you connect with God, your life will have more peace in it. More mercy, even if people in your life are unmerciful, your life will have more mercy in it the closer you are to God. More full of righteousness. Your life will be more full of righteousness even if the world shows us its ugly side. The Beatitudes, they reveal to us and they help us understand the goal of us as Christ followers is to spend time with God, because as we spend more time with God, our lives don't become easier, they become better. And that is where I want to be. And so with that in mind, I want us to just head over. We're going to look at the last Beatitude that we are going to talk about today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is fantastic for this Beatitude to come up this week, because I think this is the week that I have felt least at peace. I've just felt least at peace this while. It's been uncomfortable, and if you've had that experience, that may be something you have or are experiencing. And I want to say, just from the get-go, I'm not somebody who enjoys conflict. If you look at the Enneagram, that's the kind of the personality profile thing that's been going around the internet lately. I'm an Enneagram 1, by the way. I think I've told you here. There's actually a specific Enneagram type that really likes conflict. It's an Enneagram 8. It's a personality type that enjoys conflict. But most of us, myself included, I do not enjoy conflict, but I have learned that if you ignore something, if you just let something sit off on the side when you really should be doing something about it, it tends to get worse, right? I think I've shared this story here before, but when I was in fourth grade, I had I got some orange candies, like what you see on the screen, like one of those by the banana, except without all the little bumpies. They were orange runts, hard runts. And I had gotten them as a reward in my fourth grade class, and I popped one down, and they're not small, and I got stuck. And I started choking, and so I did what I was convinced I should have done. Raise the hand. Reagan, it's not a good idea. If you are choking, do not raise your hand. For all of you kids, if you are choking, interrupt your teacher. It is okay. That is preferable. But I didn't want to deal with it, and so I raised my hand. My teacher, you know, took a couple seconds, finished her sentence, what she was doing to do, said, "Hey, Billy, why don't you do this?" "All right, Ben, what's going on?" And by that time, I was going like this. Because I didn't want to interrupt. If you leave things to the side, that's not always helpful. I just want to mention, this week I have talked with many people in our church family, our church community, and many of us, I heard many of you that are really eager to get back physically in this space, meeting in person together. Many of us had several conversations at various times throughout the week about that. And then I've also talked with many other people who have said, "Hey, I don't know if right now is the right time, or we should really make sure we have this precaution in place. And if we don't, I don't think we should." And those conversations have been swirling both in our church, but in my life. And you know me, I have my opinions too. I do. And I need to confess, sometimes I've been, in this week, sometimes I have been angry at the situation that we're finding ourselves in, because it's complicated. And I know we're all tired, and this is not how we desire things to be. But I think ultimately, what I feel and what maybe many of us feel is that we are grieving. Grieving that we aren't able to be together easily. Grieving that this has just not looked like how we've wanted it to be. Grieving that we aren't at peace. I don't know that our church is completely at peace right now. And that's not necessarily a horrible thing. We have differing opinions, and we can have them passionately. And that's okay and good. But we need to acknowledge there's a little bit of conflict right now. There's a little bit of tension in this season. And it is just a... This is a microcosm of what is going on in our world. Our world is not at peace. Our city, our state, our country, our world is not at peace. Some of us think, why aren't we meeting together? And some of the rest of us think, why should we consider that yet? We need to wait longer. And sometimes it can feel like both groups of people want what they want, and anything short of that is not acceptable. And I just got to confess, there was a point at this week that almost got me. it almost broke me. But as she often does, Caitlin helped point me in the right direction. Because she's a child of God, and she does what any good Christian should do, which is listen to God our Father. Oh, Susan, we have something. What's going on?
It's freezing off and on for
okay.
our people, and Caitlin, let me get Caitlin's message. She says, it's still frozen on a piece of candy.
Oh, boy.
And check your screen, Ben.
Oh, ha! Well, that is true. During this whole piece, you haven't seen my face. That's all right.
Yeah,
yep.
We've had about 4 or 5 people say it's freezing.
Well, I think it may have been freezing there because I just left it on the piece of candy. That is the one disadvantage with this not right in front of me. My bad there. That's okay. This week was rough. But it helped point me, it helped point us. I trust it will help point us to some greater understanding, because this is the perfect week for this beatitude. Because peace in our world, we have made peace about an absence of conflict. What that runt story was supposed to be about before I left it on the screen for 3 minutes. Peace is not just the absence of conflict, because do you know how most conflicts end? One side pulverizes the other. One side crushes the other. I mean, that's the way the Romans did it. Pax Romana. I'm going to take that back off the screen. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. And I am doing full sarcastic air quotes there. Because when Rome was involved, when Rome wanted peace, they just steamrolled over whoever was in the way. And they did it with brutal, remorseless efficiency. And you might say, well, we don't do that today. We don't fight and kill each other when we are at peace. But I think we kind of do a little bit. I did this week. There was someone who posted on Facebook something that they did that they engaged with, and this person is a Christian, and what they did was something I did not think Christians should do, that wasn't appropriate for a Christian to do, and so I clicked the unfollow button. I defriended. I decided there was a conflict between me and them. I declared victory without them even understanding, without even realizing there was a conflict. I think we can do that sometimes, that we can unfollow, that we decide not to talk to, you know those heathens over there. We yell at somebody and leave before they respond. We declare victory because the other side is so unrighteous and so they've got it so wrong. And I don't think that is the path to peace for our world and for us as Jesus followers. I don't want to live with a war of words. I want us to live as Christ followers devoted to following after him. That's something that I want to live in my life, the way of Jesus. Peace is not just this ethereal concept that has to do with state policy or what's going on there. I've become more convinced this week that peace is about being secure. Secure that you don't have to raid another country for food. Secure that you don't have to shout somebody down before they find the hole in your argument. Secure that you don't have to have everything perfectly your way or my way or the highway. Secure mostly, though, in the arms of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Church family, our world has a long way to go. Living out this beatitude, quite frankly, I have a long way to go living out this beatitude. But those who are peacemakers, those who value peace, who help people feel secure, they are called children of God. And that's what we as the church are called. We are called the family of God. Susan, you've got something else.
Being able to hear you.
All right.
I just realized people are coming and going.
Fair enough. It sounds like our connection is having some problems this morning. Not quite sure why that is. We will post the uninterrupted, though somewhat more candy-filled than I anticipated, video of this on YouTube. So if you're having issues, we'll put this up on YouTube as quickly as we can. Blessed are peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And we as Christians, that's what we call ourselves. We are the family of God. We are the children of God too. I think that invites us into being peacemakers as well. And so, church family, I just want to invite you this week. For those of us that are sitting here in this room, for those of us that are online, I want to invite us to listening to God, because that's been the goal of these Beatitudes, and to praying with peace towards each other, that we can get to a good decision that we are all able to connect with and move forward with. So I'm asking us to fast and pray. This upcoming week, for most of us, this has been personal bin confession time this morning. I'm sorry, I know. For most of us, myself included, fasting is not best done as a multi-day I'm not eating. You can ask Caitlin, you can ask Susan or Christy. Hangry is a real thing, and I get there. For many of us, we may not want to fast multiple days in a row from food, but fasting doesn't just have to be about food. It's taking time from something and putting that time towards God, taking the time you would be making or eating food and praying instead, taking the time that you would be watching the TV or engaging with sports or seeing the news on social media. Social media is always a good thing to fast from. But for us as a church, I want us to fast and to pray. And as you're praying, I want you to ask for peace in our community. Ask for help for us as elders, those of us that are leading our congregation. Pray for us that we're able to listen to God well, that we'll be able to make a decision that is wise and good and godly, and that God desires of us. And mostly, I want us to pray as we are fasting for God to be shaping our hearts, that we will be listening intently to Him, that we will be connecting, that we will be peacemakers in this troubled and chaotic time, so that we can be His children. Blessed are the pure, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Church, my prayer this week is that we keep moving forward more and more towards God. That in everything we do, we would be pure of heart, that we would be peacemakers, that we would be here in our Lord. So let's pray together. God Almighty, help us to hear you well. We pray that you would help us. We know that we can't be pure on our own, that we can't be pure in heart, but God, we want to see you. We know that even as we strive to be peacemakers, we can't fully do that without you. And yet the church is called the children of God. Those of us as Christ followers, we are called children of God, the family of God. Be with us as we engage, whether it's through fasting and prayer, whether it's through conversation, whether it is through earnest seeking of your will. God, help us live these Beatitudes out. Help us to engage, and Lord, help us seek your will and your way first above anything else. We love you. Help us see you. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Church, may you be pure in heart. May you be peacemakers, and may you see God this week. Go trusting in Him. Go in peace. We love you. Have a blessed week.